facts and come back and see me. Get some facts and come back and see me. Don't fill out salaries or other things. Get some facts and come back and see me.
You can't handle the truth.
Now, I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
We weren't good. There's no sense asking me things about the game. I'm telling you, we laid an egg, so I'm not going to break it down for you. We sucked. We laid an egg. That's all I have to say, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not going to break it down for you. Nothing went well for us. It's on us. We have to figure it out, and we will.
It's showtime.
Every time I hear the Coastal Carolina talk about, we need more dogs. We don't need no cats in here, meow. I smile. I hope it brings a similar expression for you on your way to work or wherever you may be listening here across the great state of Michigan, whether it be in Flint or Cadillac, Grand Rapids or Midland, Saginaw, Bay City, Grayling, Gaylord, Petoskey, Charlevoix, Traverse City. That's where we are on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan, Monday through Friday, 6 until 9. Ben is our producer. I'm Matt Shepard. The Meyer Hotline is 866-838-4843. You can text the program Sports Radio to 21000. James Edwards of The Athletic will join us tomorrow at 8:35. Benjamin Raven, who is the writer for MLive, covers the Lions in the NFL, will join us at the bottom of this hour. We got some texts that we want to get to, but first let's go to the phone lines. Freddie is up next on this bright, sunny Wednesday. Hey, Freddie, what's going on?
Good morning, Shep. I wanted to kind of finish that text because half of it didn't come out. And as you know, a phone call versus text message is so much easier, so much better. The context is so much better. First of all, I did second guess it the second it happened. I absolutely hated it, but you know me, I hate that stuff. I hate when managers manage with a piece of paper, meaning this is when you're supposed to take out a guy. This is when you're supposed to, the old Sparky or those guys would tell you, you gotta manage by feel.
But AJ Hinch doesn't do that. AJ Hinch doesn't manage by a piece of paper. Don't. You can disagree with him all you want, and I'm not going to blame you for that. I don't. But don't say that he manages by a piece of paper because he does not. He does not manage by paper or by analytics solely. It's part of his decision making, but he does not manage that way. Go ahead.
Okay. That's fair. But anyways, when he pulled him yesterday, what bothered me the most was the obvious reasons. You're dominating a lineup.
Yep.
And you're getting pulled. And I didn't hear this yesterday on the radio broadcast, but I listen a lot, but I've heard this before from other people or other teams or you pull a guy like that because you'd hate to see him lose that game. You know, that pisses me off because I'd like to see him win that game. Why are we talking about losing? How do we know he's going to lose? To me, it's like just in life. That's the part of the text didn't come out. You know, you learn more through adversity than you do babying someone. That I know that with my kids. My kids are so little. I'm always on their you know what. Because I want them to understand and learn things on their own, figure it out on their own. And you pull a pitcher as dominating, and maybe their philosophy was, well, we don't want him to see the lineup the third time through. Well, how's he ever going to get better if you keep doing that?
He did see the lineup three times through. That's
well, the thing is, I'm listening.
His last out was out strikeout number 14. He struck out Paul Goldschmidt, and that's when Andrew Chafin came in. I'm with you 100% on that. I really am. I don't think, let's not take it like they're talking about losing. What they're just saying is they want that pitcher to have a chance to win. He still gave him a chance to win. He still was in line for the win. He just wasn't making the final determination. Why you take him out with a man at first, because he had walked Arenado, a chance for Burleson to hit a two-run homer, and suddenly you'd be behind 2-1. That's part of his thinking, yes. But yeah. I don't – he and Chris Fetter and Robin Lund, okay, part of the pitching staff, are constantly talking. Are they seeing something? I don't know the answers to this. I'm just asking the questions, okay? These are some of the things that they're going on. What kind of batter is he about to face? How does that batter face his types of pitching? How does he usually handle things a third or fourth time through the order? When I've already had Chafin up warming just in case because he walked Arenado, and I got to make sure he's ready. I don't want to waste him warming up for absolutely nothing. The other situation is, while he's talking to Fetter, what kind of movement, what kind of bite on certain pitches does Jack Flaherty have? It's more than just, you know what, I want to make sure I'm getting this guy a chance to win. That might be the simplistic explanation. But overall, there's a lot deeper dive into it than just what we're saying.
Yeah, listen, I get it. I get it 100%. I think when a kid dominates like that, you give him a chance. You give him a chance to work through it and win it. And you lose it, you lose it. And that's just my philosophy. Am I right? No, maybe I'm not right. Maybe I'm not wrong. But I will end it with this. You mentioned people have told you throw less in the off season. I always go back to the Nolan Ryan interview I saw 10, 15 years ago. He said, these guys are just not pitching enough, and they're not working out their arms enough. That's why we're having a lot of problems. And when he took over as president of the Texas Rangers, he had his minor leaguers pitching complete games. Whether that worked out or not, I don't know.
I can't say that. And I appreciate the phone call. It's a great conversation. Thanks, Freddie. Always can use the things that you text or call into to expand our conversation. Look, Nolan Ryan was a freak. These guys throw in the offseason constantly. I don't know how much you need. You could talk to Nolan Ryan all you want. Go talk to Mickey Lowell. She'll tell you just the opposite. Talk to Jack Morris. He'll tell you just the opposite. So there's a lot of different ways you can do that. To Freddie's point, though, look, Jack Flaherty, that's the fewest pitches he's thrown since opening day or the opening series. He threw 87 against Chicago. After that, 94, 100, 97, 97, and then 93 yesterday. So I get it. I'm not saying you're wrong. All I'm telling you is that that's not how A.J. Hinch manages. Would I have liked to have seen him come in or stay in? Yes. But we don't have all the numbers and part of the analytics in front of us, and that doesn't steer his decisions, but it's part of it. You're crazy to think that it's not part of it, and you're stupid to think that you wouldn't be doing it yourself. That's the reason you have the numbers. It's the reason so many managers are successful. You think Dave Roberts is a good manager? Absolutely. Does he use analytics? Absolutely. Think Aaron Boone's a good manager? Bad example. You think Kevin Cash is a good manager? Absolutely. You think he uses analytics more than anybody? Or as much as anybody. The World Series start by Blake Snell. Famous people all over Kevin Cash. He's a really good manager. He's a great manager. So I'm just saying, you got to be careful on, you want to see him in there, but we don't have all the information. That doesn't make the manager right all the time either, because I would have liked to keep him in too. Here's what I would ask you. Boom, two-run homer. You're down 2-1. Are you saying, Freddie's probably not, but some people might have said, you got Chafin warming up. You got a better matchup with Chafin. Why not do that? At least Freddie's consistent. I said it at the time. He's not armchair quarterbacking. We get more texts on the other side. Don't forget Benjamin Raven from MLive will join us at 8:35 to talk Lions and NFL here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan.
In the den. Step up to the plate with Eagle Casino and Sports, the mobile sportsbook app that you can bet on all your favorites all year round, including, of course, our national pastime. So download the app and start winning today at Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan. Must be 21 years or older and in Michigan to play.
This is Matt Shepard. Matt Manning was used again in a Tigers doubleheader as the 27th man on Tuesday. He's now made more starts in Detroit than in Toledo, where he's assigned to start the year. The 26-year-old and former 9th overall pick in 2016 had a really impressive spring, minus the 6 home runs allowed. But minor league options, the play of Casey Mize and Reese Olson, and the signing of 2 veterans made it easy to send him to AAA. A.J. Hinch admits he knows it's hard on Manning to bounce back and forth, but Manning hasn't complained. No complaints for the Tigers either. Bringing up a guy like Manning only when you need him means you have organizational depth, and that's a bonus.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.
Matt Shepard, glad you're with us Monday through Friday, 6 till 9. Check us out via text, Sports Radio to 21,000 to get involved in the conversation. And don't forget the Meijer hotline, 866-838-4843. Bottom of the hour, coming up in about 15 minutes or so, Benjamin Raven of MLive will join us to talk Lions. In the meantime, we've got more texts that we want to get to. In case you missed it, though, real quick, Tigers and Cardinals split a double dip. Toronto Maple Leafs with a really gutsy win. I mean, I bet you people in Toronto right now are going, where the hell was that effort in the previous games against Boston? They stay alive with a 2-1 overtime win over the Bruins. Carolina eliminates the Islanders behind a 6-3 win. Colorado does the same to Winnipeg with the same 6-3 final, and Nashville scores twice in the third. They edge Vancouver 2-1 to keep their season alive. Sixers over the Knicks, really gutsy and impressive win. Tyrese Maxey had 46. By the way, that ties Michael Jordan for the most ever by a visiting player in a playoff game at Madison Square Garden. Cavs edge the Magic by a point. They're up 3-2. Bucks stay alive, beating the Pacers 115-92 without Antetokounmpo and without Lillard. All right, back to the text line, and you could do so. Just text Sports Radio to 21,000. Ben, what do we got?
Yeah, it says, let me know when Cade becomes a leader like Anthony Edwards. He's always hurt or maybe hurt when they're losing. Leaders lead teams through the tough times, but he has not. Always hurting with leg cramps. Dave Bing nailed that pick on day one when he said he was no leader.
Boy, I don't remember Dave Bing saying that, but I'll take your word for it. I've always said this. I'm not going to dispute the text, okay? I haven't been full disclosure, I haven't been around him enough to find out what kind of leader he is. Just because you're a team's best player doesn't mean you're that team's leader. Okay? I've said this for a long time. Look, not every, maybe it's a poor example because it's hockey. Not every team's best player is their captain. Who's the best player on the Toronto Maple Leafs? Auston Matthews. Not just because he had 69 goals, but he's their best offensive player for sure, but he's their best player. Their captain is John Tavares. Barry Sanders is the best running back I've ever seen. Wasn't a great leader. That leader of that team, Chris Spielman, Robert Porcher, it wasn't Barry Sanders. Cade Cunningham is the Pistons' best player. How much is that saying for a team that won 13 games, 14 games? Not much, I suppose. I don't know any really strong leader who's going to lead a team like the Pistons that just doesn't have that much talent. They just don't. Who's the guy you, like on that team, who's the guy you want to go to deep battle with? I really like Jalen Duren. I've said this numerous times. There's a couple of guys I'd I'd keep for sure. Or dare I say untouchable. That's a hard thing to say with a team that's that bad. But I'd keep Cunningham and I'd keep Dern for sure. There are certain guys I'd like coming off the bench. Fontecchio would be really good off the bench. Don't want him starting. Not on a great team. What does that say about Cade Cunningham's leadership? I don't know what kind of leader he truly is. I just don't think any great leader. Look, Isaiah Thomas was an unbelievable player. He's the best Piston of all time. His team was terrible when he first got to the Pistons. You got to have players around you. Another text. Go ahead, Ben.
Yeah, it says, I watched the Milwaukee game, and yes, yeah, their stars were out, but they had no issues running up and down the court, high-fiving players and jumping around in excitement. NBA players are weak.
Yeah, I'm not going to go so far to say that they're weak, but it is interesting, isn't it? Like, Antetokounmpo, he hasn't played the entire series, okay? I watched a lot of that game too. I was amazed at how a team can be without its quote unquote two best players and yet look so in sync together. Like Patrick Beverley was a plus 36 on the floor. He didn't score a ton, 13. And I don't know how much you're into plus minus ratio in basketball. It's more of a hockey stat than anything. Some people don't like it that much. I believe in it. When you're on the floor and things are going well, you have something to say about it. He was a plus 36. They had a way about them last night that I hadn't seen with guys who are a little bit more dominant. I'm not going to say players are weak. Like Joel Embiid's playing through some pretty tough situations right now. Give him a ton of credit. I see guys who are battling. Look, here's what I would ask you. I love all sports, really, at least our big four. Mitch Marner is a really gifted offensive player for Toronto. Three of the first four games, he looked like he had no interest being there. Looked like he had heavy legs, like he was skating in slosh. He wasn't necessarily getting after it on a back check. Using one hand on the stick a lot of times. He just didn't look great. I'm not going to call him weak, but he didn't look engaged. How's that? I think, you know, in basketball, yeah, it's going to happen like that sometimes. We see it all the time. Look, it's not just Antetokounmpo and Lillard where you think, oh, they're weak a little bit. Look at what happened to LeBron James the other day with the Lakers. Walks off the floor, doesn't shake anybody's hand, walks off the floor, right? We're going to make excuses for him, though, because he's the greatest scorer of all time. More points than anybody else, over 40,000 this year. He reached over 40,000. He reached that plateau this year earlier. But we're going to make an excuse because he's really good at what he did. He's arguably the greatest of all time. But we'll give him a pass when you see him give up on defense plenty. He missed plenty of games. I'm not buying that. I'm not going to say basketball players or the NBA, they're weak. You can question if there's a problem with Milwaukee's culture. I'm not close enough to the Bucks to say there is. You can question that. No problem. I agree with you from that standpoint. I'm not going to paint the entire league with a broad brush because I would look at what Tyrese Maxey did last night. And I would say that is anything but weak to score 46 in a game on the road that your team was behind and had a 5% chance of winning, but ended up winning. It's a hell of a test. I think that's pretty strong. I look at what Anthony Edwards has done. Or Karl Anthony Towns and what they've done. Pretty strong. Another text, Ben. Go ahead.
Oh, that was it.
Okay.
Yes.
That's good. Timing is fine because we get a chance to talk with Ben Raven. He's coming up here at the bottom of the hour to talk a little bit more about the Lions. Not necessarily the draft, but where they're going from here. What happens next? Here's the only other thing I would say to the certain players are weak or in a certain league. I hate the load management bullcrap in the NBA. It's just accepted now. People accept it like, oh, it's okay. I mean, it's all part of load management. Well, give me a break. Baseball players play, you know, 13 days in a row. Hockey players play the same number of games as basketball players. Stop with the load management excuse bullcrap, okay? I can't stand that. Magic Johnson came out and said that about the Lakers. He was wrong about it, but he came out and said about the Lakers. Here's the other thing I would say, though. Mike Trout's one of my favorite athletes of all time. Absolute tough dude. He's missed a minimum of 30 games each of the last 3 years. Injuries, right? I mean, legitimate injuries. He's got to have surgery on a left meniscus now. Legit. Does that make him weak? I don't think so. I don't know how severe the injury with Antetokounmpo and Lillard is. My hope is that guys like that who won a championship, Lillard's never won one, Antetokounmpo has, that they'd be playing if they could. All right, on the other side, Ben Raven joins us to talk football. This is X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network.
Bill Simonson here for my good friend Josh Garvey. Now, he's a managing shareholder at Dorn Mayhew's Grand Rapids office. Their world headquarters are in Troy, Michigan, on the east side of the state, and they have locations all around the world. They have over 550 motivated accounting professionals, 90 years in business, and I mentioned the 10 offices worldwide. So if you want to connect and partner with one of the top CPA accounting and business firms in the world, they're right here in Michigan. Dorn Mayhew's Troy office on the east side of the state, and Josh Garvey is a managing shareholder for their Dorn Mayhew GR office. Right there by the S-curve, you'll see the new Dorn Mayhew sign. You can find out more. Just Google Dorn Mayhew. That's DoreNMayhew or Dorn.com. They're one of America's and the world's top CPA accounting and business firms. They're Dorn Mayhew.
We played for the thrill. That rush you feel with the game on the line. I'm Herman Moore, Lions All-Pro wide receiver. Now, with Eagle Casino and Sports, the new sportsbook app from Soaring Eagle, anywhere I'm at, I'm still in the game.
Sign up now and get up to $1,000. That's right, up to $1,000 for a risk-free bet on your next favorite underdog, parlay, or prop.
Eagle Casino and Sports. Made in Michigan, made for Michigan.
Must be 21 or older in Michigan to play.
Roast Umber is a farm-direct coffee sourced from Central American farmers and roasted in Grand Rapids. And also the Nitro Cold Brew Coffee is a convenient and healthy option for energy with no sugar additives. Look for it at your local retailer or at roastumber.com.
After the hour here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. Ron in Petoskey and Petoskey in Traverse City, I should say, in Petoskey and Charlevoix. We're on in Midland and Saginaw and Bay City. We're on up in Grayling and Gaylord and Grand Rapids, of course, Cadillac, Flint, wherever it is you may be listening on our network throughout the great state of Michigan. We're glad you're with us on this Wednesday. Also glad to have Ben Raven on with us. He writes for MLive. You can follow him on X at Benjamin S. Raven, and he did a great job covering the NFL draft and the Lions season with Kyle Meinke, our friend on M Live, and Ben joins us here on X's and Bros. Ben, glad to have you, man. Appreciate it very much because I know your time is valuable and I know you've been swamped with all the draft coverage. You wrote the other day, the best move and the Lions' biggest risks. For those who don't subscribe to the M Live pay page, can you give us an idea of what you thought their best move was and where their biggest risk lie from the NFL draft this year?
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt, for having me, by the way. But the best move, you know, it starts at the top. It starts with getting Terrion Arnold at pick 24, someone who I think was a widespread thought to be top 15 pick. I think heading into the draft, every step of the way, it was kind of hard to see him getting past even 15. So the fact that Terrion Arnold, the CB1A or 1B of this draft, truly pick 24 for a team that needs as much pass defense help as they can get. I mean, you look back to that NFC title game, that blown lead. I mean, they couldn't protect a 2 or 3 score lead. Their pass defense broke and broke and broke. It finished last season 29th in the NFL with net passing yards per attempt. Bad red zone marks again. And you go out and you get the nation's top run defending cornerback, who is also just as sticky in coverage at pick 24 without mortgage future. That is just, that's a home run. That was a home run value and pick by Brad Holmes there. And then the biggest risk is obviously the 6'8", 350-pound offensive tackle from British Columbia. I mean, this is 2 years in a row where I've turned, you mentioned Kyle Mikey, where I turned to Kyle, and we rotate picks when we're writing up the draft picks as they come in, and I'm like, hey, man, I can't find a photo of this guy for your story. They see the traits, they see the athleticism, and it's a risk. But as I said the other day on MLive, the Lions are positioned with the Eagles. You know, this kid gets compared to Jordan Mailata a lot. They are positioned like the Eagles to take a risk, to develop a raw prospect like that with the guys they have in that room, and the fact that Hank Fraley has proven himself to be one of the best developers of the offensive line in the NFL in his short time leading that room in Detroit.
As good as they were a year ago reaching the NFC Championship game but falling just short in San Francisco, they will now have a different mindset and a different expectation coming into this year. How will things change, do you think, for Dan Campbell and the Lions now that they're the hunted, rather hunting?
You know, I think we know who Dan Campbell is. I think we found out pretty quickly in 2021, and I think we found out with the end of last season that he is, as long as he's the head coach of the Detroit Lions, they will be among the biggest gamblers, the biggest risk takers, the most aggressive teams in the league. And I don't think he will adapt, he will evolve, but I don't think he's going to change from who he is, because both he and Brad Holmes have been very clear and upfront about who they are. You see it in Brad's draft classes, going back-to-back corners, taking two risks in the fourth round like that. And I think you see Dan, they're going to go for it on fourth down more than anyone in the league forever and forever, as long as he's in that job.
Ben Raven from MLive joining us here on X's and Bros. You can follow him on X or on Twitter, Benjamin S. Raven. How much better is the NFC North? Because the prevailing thought is that Minnesota got a lot better, Chicago got a lot better. Of course, they had bigger room to grow as well, more so than the Lions. But how much better do you think the NFC North is?
Yeah, it is. It is funny. The Lions win their first division in 30-plus years, and all of a sudden the NFC North starts to line up like it could be the best division in football, and much sooner than later. But yeah, the Bears, I mean, I know it's hard to bank on a rookie quarterback. It's hard to, oh, this guy's going to be amazing right off the bat. But my goodness, it is really hard not to just see an amazing situation set up for both Caleb Williams or J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota down the road. I mean, just the receivers, the offensive line, the running backs in Chicago. I mean, we were talking about the Chicago receiving corps. I mean, if Romo Odunze is a quality rookie, I mean, yeah, he's going to be the third wide receiver this year. They got DJ Moore. They got Keenan Allen. I mean, these are proven pros who do a lot of things differently. And I got to give it up to Chicago. It's not easy to recover from flunking a first-round draft pick that quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call Justin Fields a flunk, but they just didn't build around him. They have built a team for Caleb Williams to step into. I don't think they're going to compete for the division in year one, but the Bears are coming, and the Packers are coming too, because they just continue to throw premium picks at that defense. They continue to throw versatile offensive line picks at the inside their trenches, and they got a new defensive coordinator. So, I mean, you got to expect Jordan Love is going to be better this year. And then, I mean, as long as the Vikings got Addison, Hawkinson, and Jefferson, and Darisol, that's going to be a tough group to stop right there, too. And, I mean, they did pretty well to get one of the top edge rushers that they're rookie at, too.
Yeah, I think a lot of people were disappointed at Jordan Morgan as their first-round pick as the offensive tackle. But those same people probably oftentimes talk about needs. But overall, I think the Packers, especially with Jordan Love at the helm, another year under his belt, are pretty damn good. Where's your biggest concern for the Lions going into their camps? It's hard to say right now because we don't even know what the 54-man roster looks like, right? But we're overall, when you look at it right now, where's the part where you're looking at and going, this could be a little bit of an issue for the Lions?
Yeah, it feels weird. There's not a ton of glaring holes. I mean, with the developmental pick in Manu, you could You could argue that there's a little lacking depth at offensive tackle because I don't think he's going to be anywhere near ready. I think you're looking at a pretty similar Broderick Martin situation there where he's lucky to get 10 snaps at best this first season. But, yeah, there's a little depth at offensive tackle just in the short term. And, you know, I like Donovan Peoples-Jones. I love the idea of Donovan Peoples-Jones. He's done it in the NFL before. He's a local kid. We know what he's capable of. But it hasn't been there for a couple of years. Maybe a full offseason with the team, maybe a full offseason working with Goff will help him be that wide receiver three, one of those top depth wide receivers. But there is a need for like a vertical outside wide receiver, somebody to kind of fill that Josh Reynolds role, somebody to kind of fill that red zone role. Because while I expect J-Mo to be the second wide receiver option and to be much better and much more involved in the offense this year, they really do need another dependable outside guy. I mean, Jared Goff close his eyes and know where Josh Reynolds was, for 3 years now. So I really do think there's a short-term need at wide receiver. There's a potential short-term need for a little offensive line depth at tackle. And that's about it, because they've set themselves up well to have some options in the defensive backfield. And that was the main concern for me coming into the draft. So, you know, it's a weird deal. You know, there's just not a lot of glaring red marks.
What's the expectation specifically for the first two picks, Terrion Arnold and Enos Rakestraw? Where do you expect them to be when the season begins, their roles specifically?
I have a hard time not imagining Terrion Arnold won't be starting almost immediately. I really do think he's that type of talent. Obviously, he's got to go out there and earn it because the Lions have a little deeper situation at corner. So I think Arnold is going to be very much in the situation. Well, Rakestraw, you know, you might not see him a ton the first couple of weeks, but his ability in the slot and their kind of desire to move Brian Branch to safety some in certain looks could get Rakestraw on the field. Obviously, he's probably going to be competing with Branch and Meek Robertson, the new corner from the Raiders there, for some slot reps. But yeah, I expect to see a lot of Terrion Arnold pretty much from the get. Well, Rakestraw, you know, he might be a little slower to come along. He might kind of follow the track of playing behind some guys and finding his spot and maybe getting a taste of special teams here and there. But, I mean, he's not far off either. I mean, those other three cornerbacks they brought are all here on one-year deals. Those two are the future of the room. I mean, they really do feel like they built the future of their cornerback room there. So they're going to find ways to play him. But I do think Arnold is going to be he's going to eat a ton of snaps. I really do. I think he's that good.
I know you didn't think or you weren't surprised at how many quarterbacks were taken. You may have been a little bit surprised by the fact that Michael Penix went eighth overall to Atlanta and then J.J. McCarthy a couple picks later. But overall, you're not surprised there. What from the NFL draft in general stunned you a little bit?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, The Falcons definitely broke my brain a little bit with the Michael Penix pick, and it's like not even about him. It's just the fact that they've pretty much signaled on day one that Kirk Cousins is a bridge quarterback after handing him a $100 million contract and kind of telling his teammates, like, oh, he's not the set-in-stone future at this position. I mean, that was the most shocking there. And, not a ton of surprises. I was a little surprised some of the other wide receivers didn't go in the draft. I know there were some reports out there about A.D. Mitchell. I was really surprised he fell as far as he did. I was really surprised Rakestraw fell as far as he did, not to keep it just pure locally here, but pick 61 for a guy that a lot of people thought could be in the mix 29 to 40 is pretty solid right there. But, yeah, that's and I'd say just maybe the Vikings trading up again. You know, they have gotten really, to get Dallas Turner there around 17 or 18, they have been really aggressive in giving up future assets to move up and get guys that they want. I do think that that's a big risk for a team like that that's welcoming a rookie quarterback that might be starting Sam Darnold this year. You know, they kind of need to keep as many assets as they can. So, yeah, those are the surprises. But, yeah, I wasn't surprised by all the quarterbacks, but I was surprised that Atlanta took Phoenix just because you thought they were just going to focus on winning in this 2 to 4 year window with Kirk Cousins. And it was just a strange message to send to Kirk. It was just a strange message to send to that roster before he'd even suited up as their new quarterback.
Yeah. You brought up Donnie Mitchell. I was a little surprised that Ricky Pearsall went ahead of like Ladd McConkey, Jalen Polk, for example, definitely Keon Coleman, big, strong kid. out of Florida State. So that was a mild surprise for me. We're talking NFL and Lions with Ben Raven, MLive. You can follow him on X at Benjamin S. Raven. Back to the Lions. As we look at the depth of this team, we're starting to, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but we're starting to feel like Brad Holmes can do no wrong. I'll ask you the same thing I asked your friend Dave Burkett yesterday. When do you believe the trust in Brad Holmes was complete for Lions fans?
Well, that's a good one. Honestly, I think it came home after that first season when Amon-Ra St. Brown started to come on, when Penei Sewell was looking like, honestly, I think it started with the Penei Sewell pick. I think that first season really sent it home when, you know, you started to see those fourth round picks starting to contribute near the end of the season. But then it was just the culture setting pick of Aiden Hutchinson for that defense too. It was like, there were a lot of options. That wasn't as easy as everyone thought it was at pick two that year. I mean, obviously they love Touch more than anyone, but there were a lot of good, good elite premium position players in that draft, getting Aiden Hutchinson, and just kind of that set the tone for that defense. I really do. But yeah, I just look back to that first year, how it ended in that first year. A lot of people don't have glowing memories about that first season, but when you came out of that year and you're like, Penei Sewell isn't even like, he's just turned 21 years old. Are you kidding me? He just started the full season and looks like a vet doing it. You see Amon-Ra St. Brown catching game-winning touchdown passes, and it's like, all right, this is what this guy made his name in L.A. by hitting on these mid-round picks, and you started to see it with some of those mid-round picks even by the end of that first season. So I just think, and it's just kind of expounded since then. I mean, it's grown every season since then. I mean, you look at that first 2021 draft class now, and every single one of those guys is on the roster in some capacity at the end of last season. And I don't think people realize how rare that is. I mean, he really is top to bottom drafting guys that are on this roster in some capacity. And that's his retention rate and his hit rate is among just the absolute best in the league. And I just love the fact that he sticks to his guns. I mean, it challenges the way I think about the game. It challenges what I think he should do and stuff. So, I mean, he has really changed the way I look at the game and break things down, and just taking a first-round running back last year, too. Just aggressive, and it turns out to be one of the best picks in the entire order. So just
– It's a really good point by you.
Something else. Yeah.
It's a really good point by you, because I never thought of it that way from the first year, just because the first year wasn't – very good in terms right. of wins and losses. But now that you bring it up, that all those draft picks are on that team, I thought it changed last year, quite honestly. I thought it was with Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, look, that was widely panned by national and local fans and writers and broadcasters and analysts. Why you taking a first round? He thought he knew exactly what he wanted, exactly what this team needed, and it was a special player. And I think we've been, at least after 1 year, we've been proven we were wrong, he was right. And it's tough for us in the media to say that we were wrong. I think that's when people really said, okay, I'm not going to question him. It's okay to wonder a little bit, but I don't think we're going to question him like we did before that pick.
Oh, absolutely right. And I'll be honest, I remember when that pick came in and I'm like, wait, they traded down, they didn't take the job, and they still took a running back. Like, I will fully own that was my initial thought process for the first 4 months of that situation. I mean, I just think it really shows the positive aspect of the Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell kind of 50-50 roster decision share, the ownership structure for this team, because you don't see general managers that have the finger of the pulse on their roster, on their depth chart, top to bottom, like he does. Like, he truly, that Jahmyr Gibbs pick was knowing exactly what this offense needed without looking at the position. So it's just, I will never question him like that again. We will question him. We will disagree with stuff he does, but he has earned a lot of leeway because he truly understands this roster from top to bottom. And you don't make a pick like Jahmyr Gibbs at 12 overall when you need a ton of more stuff without knowing your team at a deep, deep level.
All right, lastly, before I let you go, what happens with Jared Goff and when?
Yeah, I think it's coming. I really do think it's coming before the start of the season. It just kind of sounds like they're getting their P's and Q's around. I mean, we talked to Penei Sewell yesterday, and his deal took 3 or 4 months to come together. St. Brown, a very similar deal. Yeah, it's going to be some big money with the quarterback deal, so I think there are some get that draft class in there, get those unsigned free agents signed, get a better, maybe make one more free agent addition, get a better idea of where your roster at. But Jared Goff's going to be getting that new contract. Like, I think he'll be here before the start of the regular season.
That's the last thing you want, is something like that hanging over a quarterback, yeah, or any player, but especially a quarterback, because when you're in that locker room, it's the inevitable thing that has to be discussed. And it's not, and if it's not with him and he says, look, I'm not talking about it, people are going to end up talking to other players about it. And it's not something you want hanging over. So they want to get it done, and they should get it done. Ben, great stuff as always. Really appreciate it. Give him a follow on X, Benjamin S. Raven. Great stuff with M Live. He and Kyle Meineke tag teaming on a hell of a job regarding the Lions, NFL draft, and the NFL in general. Have a great rest of your week, man. Appreciate your time very much.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Thanks for having me. Call me anytime.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we will do that. We'll take you up on that. Ben Raven joining us here on X's and Bros. Very interesting stuff. Good. I love that perspective, you know, and you just talked with Penei Sewell yesterday. See, those are important conversations to have with a man like that who was there talking with Penei Sewell. Hey, listen, how long did it take? These are not things that take a week, okay? It's not you and your wife sitting down at the table figuring out a budget and getting it done the following week or the following day. These things take time. So the Jared Goff, maybe we'll talk more about that tomorrow, Ben. We can do that, because how much do you want Jared Goff, and for how long? How long's the term? How much is too much? We'll definitely have that conversation tomorrow here on X's and Bros. Our thanks to Ben, our producer. Our thanks to Ben Raven from M Live. And our thanks to you for your phone calls, really good phone calls this morning, and your texts. Keep them coming. X's and Bros, Monday through Friday, 6 until 9. The huge show on most of these same great network stations later on this afternoon from 3 to 6. We'll talk to you again Thursday morning here on X's and Bros across the great state of Michigan. Thanks for listening.
Friday, July 26th at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. The Offspring. Pretty Fly for what? Same show, same night. Simple plan. Plus special guest Hoobah Stank. Part of the Soaring Eagle Summer Outdoor Concert Series. Tickets as low as $26 and on sale now at the Soaring Eagle box office or online at etix.com. Party hard, rock harder. The Offspring, Simple Plan, and Hoobah Stank. July 26th, showtime 7 p.m. Details at SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Huge here for my good friend Drew and the crew at Impact Power Sports. Now, they're located on 14 Mile Road in Rockford, just north of Grand Rapids here on the west side of the state. They are Michigan's newest Yamaha go-to golf cart dealer. Now, if you're looking for a golf cart for the neighborhood, the business, the golf club, maybe that second home or the lake, stop by and see Drew and the crew. They can hook you up today at Impact Power Sports. They also have e-bikes, quads, side-by-side, yard toys for the big boys and the big girls. Anything you need when it comes to power, they have it at Impact Power Sports on 14 Mile Road in Rockford. Also, if you want a shot at winning Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart, a custom-built Lions golf cart, text IMPACT to 21000. That's IMPACT to 21000. And you could win Lomas Brown's Lions golf cart this summer from Impact Power Sports and The Huge Show.
We're teeing off our 10th year at the Meijer LPGA Classic for Simply Give. Get ready for the best tour yet to help neighbors in need while enjoying golf, food, and family fun. Join us June 13th through the 16th at Blythefield Country Club for fabulous food, Discoveryland for kids, and of course, elite women golfers from around the world competing to help feed our neighbors. Get your tickets now at MeijerLPGAClassic.com.